Okay, Rabbi, so we are learning Yerideya Siman Shin Pei Dalet, which are the halachos of the Isser of Talmud Torah for an Avel. Push comes to shove, Lamaisa, we assume that the Isser is based on Pekudei Hashem Yeshem Esam Chelev, like the Shach, right? And based on that, we noted, we said from Rav Shechter in the Sefer Be'ikvei Hatzon, that's why what's called Seder Hayom is Mutter, because Seder Hayom doesn't really give you the joy and the Geshmak in Talmud Torah. And because of that, also we assume that it's Mutter to learn Eov, all of the sad parts are going to be mutter because the real Isser is out, Pekudei Hashem Yisharim Esam Chaleib. Just the real Ha'ara, I think, over here is a Musar Ha'ara. I don't know if I'm allowed to quote him anymore, but Leon Wieseltier actually has an article about how, for him, this is the most fascinating halacha. An Avil is not allowed to learn Torah because learning Torah is enjoyable. Just process that for a minute. If we don't get a Geshmak from our learning, if we don't enjoy our Talmud Torah, that means we are missing out on the fundamental aspect of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, no? It's something that, you know, we should really process. Right? Now, again, Yesh La'ayin, what about people who talk and don't enjoy learning? Right? Are they allowed to learn Bava Kama during Shiva? Or, you know, we could look at it in many different directions, but I think the Musar point is supposed to hold. Yes, sir, Mr. Kurtz. Shlita.
How can we not apply Mitzvah
Slavah Hanasnit? Why don't we... So Mitzvah Slavah the Rashba already writes on Daf Tesvav and Mitzvah Hanasnit and doesn't apply when you get some sort of physical geschmack. Mitzvah Slavah Hanasnit might be a rule only in... you know, only in Mudar Hana'ah. It might not be a general rule. You can't say Mitzvah Slavah Hanasnit that Torah is not enjoyable. That's just patently false. Learning Torah is enjoyable. Ayin Hakdama of the Eglay Tal to his Sefer on Shabbos, where he speaks about it. And Rav Motel Gifter used to point out that Rav Avraham Menahar, in his commentary in the Daran Daf Lamed Ches, says the same thing as the Hakdama of the Eglay Tal. No, fine. Adkan. Let's go in Shin Pei Daled. Seif Chu Seif Beis and Gimel. It says if the Avel is a Kayin, and he's the only Kayin in Shul, he should not go to be Ole La Torah. Basically, an Avel is not allowed to get an Aliyah. We spoke about this last time, that Rav Soloveitchik understood this is like the second din within the Isser of Talmud Torah, the din that to be Motzi Acherim, or to do public Talmud Torah, is worse. That's what this halacha emerges. Now, there's another halacha over here in Shin Pei Daled Seif Gimel. That's interesting. If you don't have another person to be mispalo, lahotzias harabim yidei chovason, then the avo can daven for the amor. Right? If there's no one else who can daven, so then the avel can. And then it says that there's a mitzvah to daven, shachas and arvis, for makam shemes shom. Now, the impression that you get from Shin Pei Daled Seif Gimel is that lechatchilo, the avel is not supposed to daven for the amor, no? The Avel is only allowed to daven if there's no one else who can do it. Vinish elata she'ela, that in Simon Shin Ayin Vav, in the discussion of Kaddish, it says that the whole Yisod of Kaddish, the Maisa of Rebbe Kiva that's found in the Sefer Arzarua and in many other places, the Maisa of Rebbe Kiva basically says that when the Tzibur answers after you, you get tremendous zechuyos for the Nifter. And therefore, davening for the Amud is more of a zechus than saying Kaddish. So, l'cha'ira, there's a stira between this din and the din that is found in Shin Pei Dal. The din that's on the end of Shin Ayin Vav is so ser this din in Shin Pei Dal and Sif Gimel. Now, the base Hillel in Shin Ayin Vav raised this question, and the Beis Hillel basically is mechalek between avelos for Aviv v'imo and avelos for anyone else. That for Aviv v'imo, apparently you should daven for the amud, but for anyone else, maybe you shouldn't. That's what the Beis Hillel says. The Badei HaShulchan notes that he doesn't know the svara for such a distinction, right? L'cha'ayra, the only heter that the Badei HaShulchan comes up with, is that since Bizman Hazeh, we're all bekiyim in davening, so memela, you are allowed to daven. In other words, one could argue that the pshat in Shin Pei Dalet Se'if Gimel is something along these lines. If I am going to be motzi you in tefillah, that's like a kibud. No? You're mechabed somebody to be motzi you with a mitzvah. So there's a kavod to daven for the amud when you're being motzi somebody. There's a kavod if only one person is doing a mitzvah, you should be that person, that's a kavod. One could argue that bizman hazeh, that everyone knows how to daven right? Most people in Shul know how to daven, so the chazen isn't really being motzi people. So memela, there's no kavod involved. Right? This is a tremendous yesod, no? This yesod is basically saying that there's a degree of simcha when you get a kibud. I think we all know this, no? I mean, if you've ever been in a shul for the kibud fights, right? What do you mean? You gave me shishi, do you? Right? You know these types of issues in some, maybe in Bayswater you don't have it. In other communities there are fights over kibudim because people want a kibud. Why do people want a kibud? Because they say, you know what, it's ego flattering. Right? Rav Schechter points out in a number of his svarim that fundamentally our approach should be very different. Our approach should be that we live a life of tznius. And the life of tznius means that we serve the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, we don't need our honors, etc. But if we're honest, we know that we all have egos. And feeding that ego is a degree of kavod / simcha that you get, no? They say that as you grow older, you have fewer and fewer hana'as in the world, no? As you get older, you're like 95, you're not going to enjoy the good food anymore. You're not going to enjoy the good music. And all of the pleasures that people are pursuing their whole life as you're older, you don't pursue. The last kavod that you pursue is to daven for amud. You know, like the 97-year-old guy in Shul who likes getting up there in shortling? You know that guy? Right? That's the last kibud that you have in life. And that gives you simcha. And maybe the pshat over here is that the real kibud is when you're being motzi others. That is what it says. Now, I saw in the Sefer Mishmeres Machos on page Shin Ches that the Mishmeres Machos has a different mahalach over here. He suggests that maybe the stira to Shulchan Aruch about whether the Ovel should daven for the Amud or not can be answered based on whether or not the Ovel is wearing tefillin. An Ovel Yom Rishon, we'll learn in Simin Shin Pei Ches, does not wear tefillin, no? It could be that to daven for the Amud without wearing tefillin is mamash a bazillion, no? You're getting up there, you're davening for the Amud, and you don't have your tefillin on your head. It looks a little insulting to the community. So maybe that's the pshat. Maybe the pshat is that the Ovel should daven for the Amud all the time, but when you're not wearing tefillin, it's a pasnish to daven for the Amud. That's what the Mishmer Smacho says. I think it's actually very creative. No? It's a very creative approach. We'll have to talk about how that approach fits in with the dinim of tefillin in Shin Pei Ches. Let's go weiter. I remember as a kid in Camp Monk on Tisha B'Av every year, Reb David Cohen would give a shiur, and he would basically talk about the Gemaras and Kamsa Bar Kamsa and all Hilchos Aveiros. He'd like go all day, just giving a shiur on Tisha B'Av. And guys would like sit around, you know, the picnic table, listening to Reb David Cohen, and people would ask him questions, or it would be in the dining room, once there was air conditioning there, and people would ask him questions, and he would answer the questions. But sometimes he'd say, you know what, I can't answer that question because that would involve too much pilpul. Where does that come from? That comes from a Birkei Yosef here in Shin Pei Dalet, no? The Birkei Yosef writes that Ra'isi echad mehagedolim bimei evlo shahayalome behilchos avelos bi'iyum nifrat bi'inyun nimrats bein olapein atzmo umashe mechadesh bi'inyun shakl v'tarya odin kosev umala al sefer. Right, Birkei Yosef Tainas, I saw a gadol who was learning Hilchos Avelos Be'iyun during his Avelos, and when he'd have chidushim, he'd write them down. V'li ha-hedyot lav shapir ovid, kevim shemamek be'iyuno mechadesh, ein simcha lebal Torah gedola mizu. There's no greater simcha than having a chidush in learning, says the Birkei Yosef. And therefore, you're not allowed to learn bi'iyun. You could only learn bikiyus. That's what he says. Now, Reb Fiva Cohen in the Badei HaShulchan notes that it's very, very hard to distinguish between learning bi'iyun and not. No? When I learn bikiyus sometimes, and like you read a bunch of Gemaras very quickly, right? Like the post-Shachris Seder, you're just reading up Gemaras. So sometimes you come up with some of your better chedushim just by reading a Gemara, because you remember. Oh, another Gemara. Right? You remember stuff. Oh, that same lashon appeared in Daf Dalet, appears in Daf Vav. Right? Like, you put stuff together very quickly. It's usur to have chedushim. Chedushim cause simcha. It's very hard to understand. Nosafa kach, Reb Fiva Cohen asks, that we know that many Gedolei Yisrael wrote tshuvas during their shiva. Maran Hachsam Sofer has a tshuva that he titles, he dates, when he's sitting shiva for his wife, no? He writes a particular tshuva, and he says, I'm writing this during my avelos, during my... during my shiva. So it's hard to know. Here, this is at the Badei HaShulchan page, Reish Chof Aleph. Writes, Ayin Shuvas Chsam Sefer Simen Shin Mem Vav, Dinirin Mashakas Hashem She'iyin Behilchas Avelos Bimei Evlo. There is in the Sefer Emek Bracha, Rabbi Arya Pomarchik, he has a whole kuntres of Chedushim that he came up with in Hilchas Avelos while he was sitting Shiva. Lecha Ora? Right, it's very hard to be magdir, what's considered iyun, what's considered bikiyus. Right, it's very hard to be magdir, what's considered being mamik. Pashtus is, it's going to be mutter. When we see in Shulchan Aruch that you're not allowed to learn with acherim in public, so that l'cha'ira means that there's some sort of greater, either it's a zulzul to the avelos if you learn in public, or the pshat is that there's some simcha when you do it in public, and it's something along the lines of being motzi achirim. Right? We mentioned for Rav Soloveitchik, the Shtikl Torah, that there's another din of Isser Talmud Torah that applies when you do it in public. If that's the case, Yesh La'ayin, from the Rav himself, no? The Rav is the one who popularized Talmud Torah and Tisha B'Av. Hey! Talmud Torah and Tisha B'Av is a thing now. They have all these videos. Right? It's a thing. And the Rav is the one who really did that. What was the heter to teach Torah publicly on Tisha B'Av? Not clear. The Rav was bothered by this kasha. The Rav was bothered by the kasha. How come this Kriyas HaTorah on Tisha B'Av? No? If there's an Isser of public Talmud Torah, Kriyas HaTorah should also be Usser. Look in Rabbi Konigsberg's Shi'urei Herb, where he analyzes this Shaila, David.
I was going to say, maybe the Rav, I mean, total speculation, maybe the Rav felt that without it, there wouldn't even be a Velos.
Maybe, right. In other words, that's a svara that we mentioned in the Shir. I think I said this in Rabbi Rosenzweig at one time, that maybe we could be mechabting the Isser Talmud Torah on Tisha B'Av, which is Avelos Yishana, and this is Talmud Torah by regular Avelos. By Avelos Yishana Dafki, you need the Talmud Torah to create the experience of Avelos. Kenzain. The Kriyas HaTorah Kasha is still interesting. Mr. Friedman?
You say it's a Kiyo Min Avelos, even for an individual, if they're learning Sugyas. Or Torah itself can be, maybe even Nichum, you know, as the Torah continues.
Is there a din of being Menachem yourself?
Well, I mean, not to get, like, all meta psychological, but at the end of the day, you are kind of being Menachem yourself.
Maybe. I mean, I thought the idea is that Achirim are Menachem you, and that kind of brings out the fact that you realize that you're not alone. The Nichum Avelim comes... It could be. I mean, again, there's a lot to say. I think these are actually profound issues that are kedai to think through. That's what we have in Simen Shin Pei Daled regarding the Isser of Talmud Torah. Shin Pei Hei. There's a din of She'elas Shalom. Now, the din of She'elas Shalom, it says in Shulchan Aruch, breaks down by which day of Avelos it is. Teich gimel yamim, you're not supposed to be shoel b'shalom ha'avel at all. The avel should not be shoel shalom at all. Toch gimel yamim, someone is shoel shalom to the avel, basically you say you're an avel. Migimel ad zayin, the avel, it says in Shulchan Aruch, gimel zayin, you don't ask. Acherim don't know that you're an avel, and they are shoel b'shalom, so you should answer. Mizayin ad lamed, you can be shoel b'shalom acherim, but acherim should not be shoel b'shlomo. And from lamed until yud beis chodesh has the same din al of ve'im, that acherim should not be shoel b'shlomo. The basic cheshbon over here is as follows: that if someone's in avelos, so that person is not b'shalom. What do you mean, shalom? Shalom aleichem means all is good. All ain't good. You're in avelos. You can't say it's, and it might be something, Reb Feivel entertains this idea, it might be something like loeg l'rush. You say shalom aleichem to an avel, you're saying shalom? What do you mean shalom? You want to punch a guy in the nose, you idiot! Saying shalom, it's not shalom. Right? What did the Navi say? Shalom, shalom. Right? Ve'in shalom. Right? That's what Yirmiyahu HaNavi said, that all the Nevi'ei HaShaker are saying, shalom, shalom, it's good, it's good. Ve'ein shalom, it ain't good. The Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed, Yirmiyahu said. Hey, what do you mean, shalom? Right? So that might be the pshat. It might be some din of loeg l'rush. Alternatively, it might be some din. We learn the Isser She'el HaShalom like we learn the Isser of Talmud Torah from Hey Anek Dom. You're supposed to be silent. You're supposed to be on your own. Shalom means that there is a relationship between people. And you don't want that. You don't want that during the Avelos. You're supposed to be on your own. Sead, Eicha, Yashva, Badod, etc. Maybe that's the pshat. Now, there's another mahalach, though, which is probably truer to the din. You see, the Ramah over here writes, that just like there's an Isser of She'elas Shalom, Haga, Ume'acha She'asar B'She'elas Shalom, Koshekin She'asar Laharbos B'dvarim. He quotes in the Rambam in Parakei. There's an Isser to be Marbe B'dvarim. Don't speak a lot. Now, this is very interesting. What's the Koshekin? Just like She'elas Shalom is Asr, so you can't be Marbe B'dvarim. It's hard to understand the Koshekin, because if She'elas Shalom is the Pshat, that it's Loeg L'Rush, what's the Isser of Loeg L'Rush? It's Asr to be Loeg L'Rush if I say Shalom to you. But Marbe B'dvarim, what's the Isser? So Reb Feivel Cohen has a big Chiddush. He says, you know what? Maybe the Pshat in the Isser is that there's a new din of Hesach Hadas, which is Asr for an Avel. An Avel is supposed to be focused on his Avelos. Hesach Hadas is Asr. If you'll be Marbe B'Devarim, you know, sometimes you go into a Shiva house, and the Avelim, you know, are mamish having a great time. Relatives who they haven't seen in years show up. Everyone comes. They're having a mamish a party over there. No? They're being Marbe B'Devarim. They're going through all the old times. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, that's Asr. Because that's considered Hesach Hadas from Avelos. The Isser She'elas Shalom is, don't greet somebody, because if you greet the person, he'll be Mesiach Das. The person that's supposed to be sitting, the Kovid Rosh, focusing on his or her Avelos. And Hesach Hadas is Asr. Based on this Isser of Hesach Hadas, the Aruch HaShulchan has a comment that you're not allowed to read newspapers during Shiva, no? Famous Aruch HaShulchan, Kriyas Itonim, right? Oba mensch vet lernen a Zeitung, das ist Asr. Right? My Yiddish speakers have deserted us. But the point is, there's an Isser of Hesach Hadas. Now, where does this Isser Hesach Hadas come from? So it could be that that's the Pshat in this Rambam, but we see that there are other Isurim of Hesach Hadas as well. In the Badei HaShulchan, on page 208, I believe, he quotes a perush of Rabbeinu Chananel that the is of kfiyas hamita might be because of hesach hadas. Kfiyas hamita literally means, again, we don't have kfiyas hamita so much anymore. Our beds are not made to be turned over. But if you have kfiyas hamita, the pshat is that you're not going to sleep comfortably. You're not going to sleep comfortably on the bed. Memela, you're not going to be mesiach das, because a gantz nacht, you're going to be tossing and turning. And you won't be mesiach das from the avelos, because you won't sleep well. That's a din of... that's a din of what's it called? That's a din of hesach hadas. Now, those din of hesach hadas are found during Shiva. But we also see dinim of hesach hadas le'inyin shloshim. Let's go slowly. There's another din of hesach hadas in Shiva, which is avel al yetzei mipesach beso and simin shin sadi gimel. The avel should not leave his home. The pshat in that might be al tesach hadas, and therefore the achronim say, you know, today it's very common that people will sit shiva in their host community, or in their home community, should say, where they live, and they'll also sit some of the shiva where their parents lived. You know, they'll move around during the shiva, right? Not uncommon at all today. The achronim say that when you move around during shiva, you shouldn't leave in the middle of the day. You should go at night, when no people are in the street. What's the difference? If there's an iser, shen avel should not be yetzem, you pass a face on, what difference does it make when I leave? The answer might be hesach hadas. When you walk outside and it's all bustling and everything is going on, so then you'll be mesiach das. You'll see the stores are open, you'll think about the stupid thing that Trump did recently, whatever it is, right? I shouldn't have said that probably. But okay, whatever, it's on tape. But the fact is, you'll be outside, you'll be thinking about stuff. But when you go outside late at night, when no one's in the street anymore, you won't be mesiach das. That could be the pshat. There's a din in Shulchan Aruch that an avel is supposed to change his seat. Now, midina de Gemara, during week two, during week one you have to change your seat. During week two, you have an option. Either change your seat, or you could sit in your regular place, but not allowed to talk. Now, where does that come from? So Rav Chaim Cohen explains also, that's based on the same sort of hesach hadas by an avel. Hesach hadas means that if I'm in a different seat in shul, let's say, or Rav Soloveitchik felt even in yeshiva, you should change your seat in the Beis Medrash during avelos, in a different seat, something's out of the ordinary, it's different, you won't be mesiach das. If you're sitting in your same seat, there's likely... Or that you'll be mesiach das. You're sitting next to the same guy who gives you the sports scores every day. You might be mesiach das. How do you make sure you're not mesiach das? Oh, you could sit in your same seat, but mitarnished redden. You can't talk. Because the idea is not to have hesach hadas. So the chiddush of the Arach HaShulchan, which many achronim say, hey, Arach HaShulchan, dearie, you made it up that you can't read newspapers. But kefi masheher anu, we could say that it's really mevusas. It's really based on major sources in halacha. So the iser laharbos bedevarim might not be out simcha, but it could be the iser laharbos bedevarim is out hesach hadas. Let's go weiter. Rama writes again. We're talking about she'ela shalom. The Rama writes in shin pei hey. So if Aleph, Shtein Ramah, Yesh Mekilam Ha'idna B'She'el HaSholom Ha'Avel La'achar Lamed, Ve'ein Tam Lahem Im Lo Sh'yach Laku Lomar She'zesh Ma'asha Anu Nohagim Lo Mikri She'el HaSholom She'B'Yimehem. The Ramah writes that there are some who are Mekel. There are some who are Mekel in She'el HaSholom, and it doesn't make any sense unless you say that what we have is not called She'el HaSholom. Now, why is it that what we have is not called She'el HaShalom? The Rama sends you to Orech Chaim Simin Peites, and there seems to be a Machlokes HaAchronim over there. The standard approach is that it's not She'el HaShalom, because maybe She'el HaShalom is only if you use the word Shalom. You use Hashem's name. Gemara in Shabbos Daf Yud says that Shalom is Echa Mishmosav Shah HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Maybe that's only She'el HaShalom. But today, we don't say Shalom. We say a Gut Morgen. that you say good morning. That's actually the Lashon Poskim, good morgen. That's how you know you have to speak Yiddish, right? The Poskim say, that's what we do. So maybe that's not Sheila Shalom. Maybe Sheila Shalom is only when you say Hashem's name. Alternatively, the Magen Avraham seems to write that it's only Sheila Shalom if you are mashkim lepisko and you bow down. Now it says in the Gemara in Brachas, and it's quoted in Aruch Chaim Peites, that you're not allowed to be mashkim lepisko shel chavera before you daven. And main poskim assume that means that you can't go and bow down to somebody. Again, like in the Far East, I think it's still common that people bow to each other, no? As a sign of respect. I remember as a kid when I was taking karate, right? So you have to bow before you do the katas, correct? You know what I'm talking about? Right? It's like a thing, right, in karate. So the bowing is considered a sign of respect. The Magen Avraham says, saying the word shalom without bowing is not the real iser. So according to Magen Avraham, the real issue is the bowing. According to the other Mahalach, the real iser is not the bowing, but the real iser is using shalom. What should emerge is as follows, that according to the Magen Avraham, you're even allowed to use the word shalom if you don't bow, no? That's what emerges. Kol shekein, the word gut morgen, should be okay, according to Magen Avraham. So now let's go slowly. I'll take your question in 2 minutes, but over here the Shach asks Akasha. The Shach says, I don't understand. My dear Rama, by the way, the Rama is the Shach's wife's grandfather, so he feels an affinity. Right? So the Shach writes, if you're telling me that our shalom isn't shalom, it should even be mutter toch lamed. How come you're only mego Rama la'achar lamed? Right? That's the Shach's kasha. And that's a bam kasha. That's really a bam kasha. Right? The Shach and Sif cut in bays. Lo matzino l'shem posek shechi like b'kach. No posek is mego teich lamed. So according to the Bible Cohen, maybe the pshat is like this. Maybe the nature of the Isser Shalom is something along the lines of Loeg V'Rush. And Loeg V'Rush means that I'm insulting you. I'm saying Shalom to you. It's not good that you get insulted. Maybe Bizman Hazeth Nisma'atu Halavavos. People are not as sensitive as they used to be. And because they're not as sensitive as they used to be, maybe the Shalom doesn't insult them. Now, it seems to be interesting. If anything, I'd argue that today people are hypersensitive to certain, right, microaggressions. What are these things called? It's like a term. It's a thing, right? Don't do it. Not everything means that you should do it. But it's not so pashut that this idea is correct, but that's what Reb Feivel suggests. Now, comes along my dear, beloved friend, the Mishmeres Hasmachos. And he says as follows. He tainas, you know what? The minhag ha'olam is that many people are mekel to greet each other, even teich lamed. And according to the Shach and according to the Rama, there's no heter. So he says, no, maybe there is a heter. Because if the Magen Avraham is right, that the pshat in the kula of shalom is because even saying shalom is permitted so long as you don't bow down. So what that would mean is that gut morgen is lower than shalom. That might mean that, you know what, saying shalom is mutter, only la'achar lamed, tov yud beis chodesh, if it's shalom without bowing. But one could argue that gut morgen, hello, whatever it is, should be mutter all the time. That's interesting, no? The Mishmeres Machos basically has this chiddush, it's on page 502, that we could argue that according to that Magen Avraham, there's going to be a heter for us to greet even toch lamed. The Magen Avraham says, no poskim hold that way. So Mishmeres Machos, according to his derech, says, no poskim, what do you mean? But the Minhagim of Frankfurt am Main and the Yosef Omitz has it. He builds a case. Okay, it's interesting. There's another kula that we have as follows. In the Sefer Pnei Baruch and Avelos, which is actually the Hebrew version that Artsko translated into English, no? So, the author of the Pnei Baruch has the following suggestion. He doesn't rely on this one ma'isa, but it's his suggestion. That maybe She'ela Shalom is only when you ask. One could argue that to say hello is not she'ela shalom. What does hello mean? It means hello. She'ela shalom is oib mefrekt, if you ask. How are you? Not in the sense that, like, you're walking down the street, how are you? And you don't even wait for the answer. But in a genuine sense, you sit down with somebody and say, tell me, how are you? That could be she'ela shalom. Because mefrekt, you're asking. Right? One could argue that there is a kula of she'ela shalom when mefrekt nisht. Yes, sir.
Just assuming that she'ela shalom is the same throughout halakhic literature. So in Bikurim, when they come, the people are supposed to be shol shalom. It doesn't sound like you're sitting down with them and asking them to do anything. It sounds like you're just greeting them in the street.
I'm not sure. I really don't know. Unfortunately, I've never seen a Bikurim procession in my life. I don't know. The Mishnayos and Bikurim do speak about how they say Acheichem Bnei Yisrael, that you came from this area, like you should. I don't know. Did they offer them food, sit them down? You're saying it doesn't sound that way? Interesting. I don't know.
Also, would handshaking today be an equivalent for bowing? What do we hold in terms of that?
Hard to know. I mean, if the issue of bowing is because you're only supposed to show really cover to the Ribbono Shel Olam first thing in the morning and you shouldn't bow to somebody else, so I don't think handshaking would qualify. I think there's a certain type of greater honor that's conveyed by bowing in the Far East than by handshaking in the West. That's what I'd be inclined. I don't know. So again, these are some of our discussions regarding regarding She'elas Shalom. Now, the Ramah in Orach Chaim says that you shouldn't send Mishloach Manos to an Ave or Aveim Toch Yud Beis Chodesh. And the Ramah over here says that you shouldn't send gifts to an avel, toch yud beis chodesh. Now, over here, what the Ramah is talking about with gifts is probably a gift of simcha of some sort. Shouldn't send the guy a gift that makes him really happy. Mishloach manos, most of us don't get all that happy when we receive a pineapple and a bottle of wine. But the Ramah paskins that way. Now, the Ramah, though, in Orach Chaim writes, look in Yerideya Simin Shin Pei Vav, Shin Pei Hei, whatever it is. Look in Yerideya in the Stin. What does the Ramah mean with that Sion? So the Magen Avraham understands as follows, that what the Ramah means is, we pass at the end of the Simin, that on Shabbos, in a Makom Shenahago, in a place that everyone says good Shabbos to each other, so you're allowed to say good Shabbos to an Avel. Says the Magen Avraham in Hochos Purim, the Tziyun is as follows. Since Ashkenazi practice is that we don't prava Avelos on Purim, we treat Purim like Shabbos during Avelos. No, that's already interesting, no? It's not a yontiv that's mevatel Avelos. There is the rush in Simon Peites, I believe, quotes from the Sefer Mektzohos, that just like Yontem is Mevatel Avelos, Purim is Mevatel Avelos. But we don't assume that way, right? We assume that on Purim, you don't outwardly observe any Avelos, but, and it counts as one of the days of Shiva, which is more akin to Shabbos, right? That's the way we paskin. So says the Magen Avraham, if Purim has a din of Shabbos, some of you are allowed to send gifts on Purim. That's the way the Magen Avraham understood the din. Others say that what the Ramah meant is as follows. Maybe what the Ramah means when he sends us to this din is that since we're mekel in Simin Shin Pei Hei, that we don't have She'elas Shalom, so hu hadin, we can be megal that sending a gift to an avel on Purim is mutter. La'achar lamed. No? Because since our shalom is not real shalom, like the Ramah writes, So maybe the Ramah is saying, Orechayim is saying, yeah, you know what, fundamentally sending gifts should be She'el HaShalom, but since we don't really have She'el HaShalom in our world, so sending gifts can't be Aser. That's the way the Balei HaShulchan Paskins and Sifkat and Yutes. Balei HaShulchan Paskins, that La'achar Lamed, you're allowed to send gifts to an Ovum. You're allowed to send Mishloach Manos to an Ovum for him. Because we don't have She'el HaShalom anymore. According to the Magen Avraham's Cheshbin, it's mutter even toch lamed, no? Because it's, you know, because Shabbos. I got a shiloh a few weeks ago. One of the local rabbonim was in my shir for Avelos, so whenever he gets Avelos shilohs, he texts me a shiloh. So the shiloh was like this. His wife is in Avelos, it's her birthday. Is he allowed to give her a birthday gift? What would you say? So, one could argue that giving a gift to Chaora is a problem. Especially if it's a chash of a gift. That would be the type of manos that the Ramah is referring to here at the end of Shin Pei Hei. Presumably when the husband buys his wife a birthday gift, word to the wise, you buy your wife a birthday gift, you know, it shouldn't be just a plain book. Unless, you know, that's what she wants. Right? The idea is, you get a nice gift. Oh, if it's a nice gift, that would be real She'el HaShalom. So that would be Mamish Aser. But on Shabbos, it's Mutter. Yeah? Now, you're not supposed to give gifts on Shabbos. You have to be Makne it to her before Shabbos. And then give it to her on Shabbos. Right? This is what I think would make sense. Alternatively, you could say that no, we don't have She'el HaShalom anymore at all. In other words, if you assume that it's tamazai a chumra on Purim, not to send mishloach manos to the Avel, because we really don't have She'el HaShalom, it should really be mutter, so giving any gift should be mutter entirely. That's the other approach. It seems to me that second approach is what the Balei HaShulchan is more inclined to, but L'cha'ora it should be a mutter. Yeah, yes, sir.
This might be a question also for Hilchos Shabbos. Are you able to kind of put it on the table and, you know, you're about to look at Hefker and you say, oh, I got a present for you. And then
so this is a sugya in the Dharma between that Mem Beis and Mem Hei. Who's on the call? We made a scene yesterday, no? Everyone should know. Between Mem Beis and Mem Hei, is something yours until they take it or not? Is it considered, right? Hefker, according to Rabbi Yosi HaGlili, according to the Chachamim, right? Like three daf of Gemara. It's Nadarim daf, like each daf is like four lines, so it's not as bad, but the round's kind of long. Adkan. Now, the Taz over here in Shin Pei Hei quotes from the Bach, B'Shem Reb Yehuda, that an Avel Toch Shloshim should not invite others and should not be invited to be with others. Now there is another din that we're going to have later on called Sudas Mireius, which is also from Avel. The Bach would not have to be saying this if this is an example of Sudas Mireius. Elamai, he means L'cha'ira, the type of invitation that's not invitations for a meal. The Taz quotes in the Bach, but that's also going to be Aser. And Yirtzeh Hashem, when we talk about Sudas Mireius, I hope to focus more on this Taz, B'Shem the Bach, at the end of Shin Pei Hei. Oh. Let me just see if there's anything else that I skipped in Shin Pei Vav. I think we got most of in Shin Pei Hei. Most poskim, by the way, say that even though there's an Iser of She'el HaShalom, to say Mazel Tov to an Avil is not She'el HaShalom. They quote that Rabbi Yashiv was sitting at Shiva and one of his grandchildren was getting married or something and everyone came to wish him Mazel Tov and he accepted the Mazel Tovs. So that's the Raya that... Now again, according to the Pnei Baruch's Mahalach, that She'el HaShalom is asking more than saying. So to wish Mazel Tov, okay. I might have a kuntra somewhere of Pesachim of Moshe Feinstein when he was sitting Shiva for his sister that they wrote up some of Rav Moshe's Hanhagas. I think people wished him Mazel Tov also. He had another Simcha at that time, so that should be okay. There's a din in Shin Pei Vav called Atifas Harosh. Atifas Harosh, we don't do. We don't do Atifas Harosh. That's what the Ramah quotes. Ain't no hagim dinas elu ba Atifas Harosh. But the Mechaber quotes Atifas Harosh. The din of atifa is that you're supposed to be oitif reishai when no one is with you. When people are with you, you lift it up a bit above your head. Now, the Emek Bracha has an interesting ha'ara. He says that the Mechaber, who says that we do atifa sarosh, and the Ramos says we don't do atifa sarosh, you're not really arguing. It's just that the Mechaber lives in Muslim lands, and the Ramos lives in Christian lands. In Muslim lands, people tend to wear what looks like atifa all the time. They wear like a keffiyeh. So the Mechaber says, do atifa sarosh, what's the big deal? But the Ramah says, don't do atifa sarosh, because the Goyim are going to make fun of us. What do you mean the Goyim are going to make fun of you? How can the Sanhedrin from the Mechaber? I'll tell you why. They're different Goyim. Mechaber Goyim are Muslims. They wear atifa sarosh all the time, no? But Ramah Goyim are Christians. They don't wear atifa sarosh. That's what the Emek Bracha suggests. And therefore the Emek Bracha tainas that today, since we're living in Eretz Yisrael, who lived in Bnei Brak, maybe everyone should be chayiv and meal atifa sarosh, because they're not going to make fun of you. That was one of the chidushin that he wrote during Aveilos, during sitting Shiva for his mother. Right? That's in page Kuf Mem Aleph in the Emek Bracha. There's a few examples.
It's probably butchered, because that's not a very lumpish chakira.
What?
It's not a very lumpish chakira.
So that... this is like brisker...
It's a cultural distinction.
Right. There are a number of other cultural distinctions between the Mechaber and the Ramah. We spoke about one in Hilchos Nida. Who remembers? Cultural distinction, geographic.
The dress? No? About clothing?
What did we say?
Not
sure. I had a better one. Is it Beis Hakise Mechabel Ksamen?
Wow, that was Eretz Yisrael versus... Yeah.
It's a geographical distinction. The Mechaber lives in Eretz Yisrael.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So Eretz Yisrael, there's Tumas Negayim. There's another one, I believe. The Mechaber writes that you should not make Kiddush in Beis Knesses. The Ramos says you should. The Pshat might be that Bote Knesios in Eretz Yisrael have Kedusha, no? And you can't get rid of that Kedusha. Bote Knesios in Chutz La'aretz don't have the same degree of kedusha. I'm trying to put together a list of these type of distinctions just because this is the type of thing that interests me in my old age. Okay, so that Atifas Harosh with the comment of... Yeah? You have another one? Fine. Emek Bracha's a second kiddush. Emek Bracha's kiddush is that, you know what, the fact that the Goyim might make fun of you, maybe that only gives you a kula not to do atifas yishme'elim. But not to do any atifa, maybe it's still us. And I should point out, when we talk about atifas yishme'elim with the talus, right? It says in Shulchan Aruch that we should be machmen when we put on our talus in the morning to do atifas yishme'elim. People often do this wrong. It says atifas yishme'elim means that you cover, right, until your chin. So some people assume that you put the talus all the way over you until your chin. Now they ask, atifas yishme'elim, until your chin, that means that you can't see, because the talus is covering your eyes. And the Arabs, I'm not supposed to make ethnic stereotypes, but whatever, you could fill it in, but the Arabs don't cover their eyes. If they cover their eyes, they couldn't walk. So what do you mean that that's atifas yishme'elim? So some suggest the Minchas Eluzer in his Sefer Nemiki Arachayim, Minchas Eluzer suggests that Atifa's yishme'elim maybe is that during the sandstorm, if you're going through the Sahara Desert, you're talking to cover your eyes. Not bad. But not so likely. The better pshat is what Rebbe Avraham Chaim Noah has in the Ketos HaShulchan, that Atifa's yishme'elim means that you cover your head, and you take the bottom of the talus, and you cover your mouth. No? That's taka the way you wear a keffiyeh. Right? The way you wear an Arab headdress is that you cover your mouth. So the Emek Bracha has a taina here. He says, I don't understand. If the Goyim are going to make fun of us, so maybe we won't do atifas yishme'elim, but what's our heter not to do any atifa? And therefore he argues that you should do some sort of atifa. And he has a taina on the shach. Because the shach writes that we have a practice that during avelos we wear our hat. And when the avel, when Menachemim come to the avel, they lift the brim of the hat up a teeny bit. And the shach seems to say that this is some sort of kiyum of atifa, that you wear your hat for 7 days of shiva. Now, that would first of all mean that you should wear your hat for 7 days of shiva, which is not necessarily practiced. But nosaf al kach says the emek bracha, if you read the shach carefully, the shach writes that it's a minhag. It's a minhag to wear the hat. It doesn't sound like it's me'ikar hadin. Now, it's interesting to note that the Taz quotes the same idea of wearing the hat, but the Taz quotes it from the Sefer HaRokeach with the Lashon of Chiyov. Now, the Shach quotes it with the Lashon of Minhag, but the Taz quotes it with the Lashon of Chiyov. The Emek Bracha Taina is that you should cover something. Now, how come the minhag is that we don't cover our heads during Shiva? So, there is a kula of Rav Moshe Sternbuch in the Tshuvas HaHanhaga Siman Tov Resh Pei Aleph. Rav Moshe Sternbuch Taina Zazoy. He says that to do atifa properly, you need something that has a din beged that you put on your head. If in our countries we don't cover our heads with anything, so it could be that it doesn't have a din beged. If it doesn't have a din beged, you're not mekayim the inyan of atifa at all. So you may as well not wear your hat on your head, he says, because you won't be mekayim it since people don't wear hats. If you don't wear hats, so then wearing a hat, then the hat is not a beged. If it's not a beged, you can't be mekayim atifa with your hat. That's Rav Moshe Sternbuch's kula. Okay. How come the minhag is that we don't do atifas harosh? Don't know. It's not so simple. We don't do kfiyas hamita either. That's shin pei zayin in Shulchan Aruch. Kfiyas hamita is not done because our beds don't turn over, or because if you turn your bed over, people say that you are doing some sort of magic, which is not proper. And they'll be scared of you, or the like. Now, there is a machlokas haposkim, what kfiyas hamita means. Look in the Pesachei Tshuvas of Cut and Base. Does kfiyas hamita mean that you have to turn the bed over? And if the bed doesn't turn over, you have to sleep on the floor? Or does kfiyas hamita mean that you have to turn the bed over? If the bed doesn't sleep over, you can sleep on the bed. So that's a machlokas in the tshuva of the Panim Me'iros and other achronim. The Panim Me'iros says that you're allowed to sleep on your bed. The minhag is today that people sleep on the bed, which is against many poskim. Look in that Pesachei Tshuva Sifkat and Beis and follow all the achronim. It's against many poskim. Now, Reb Feivel Cohen notes that if you hold the Panim Me'iros, that you're allowed to sleep on your bed, that means because no one is around when you're sleeping, you're allowed to be on your bed normally. So who had think you'd be allowed to eat on a regular chair when no one's around? That's what the Bavli HaShulchan writes. The pashtus in most achronim is that you should sleep on the floor and you should eat on the floor. Now, our practice is that we have a very broad definition of what's considered floor. Some say anything within one tefach of the ground, that's in the Gesher HaChayim, the Aruch HaShulchan writes anything within three tefachim of the ground is considered floor. But L'maisa, we don't sit on the floor. Right? We sit on shiva chairs. The Aruch HaShulchan writes that if you're not feeling well, you can sit on a regular chair. That's not so pasha. The Shach writes over here that if you're not feeling well, you should put a cushion under your seat. It's not so pashut, but the minhag is again that we sit on low chairs. That's the minhag as a kiyum of kfiyas hamita. Now there is another din that the Ramban quotes on page Kuf Pei Gimel. The Ramban quotes on page Kuf Pei Gimel that there is one din of Kfiyas Hamita, and there's another din that you have to sit on the ground. And it's based on the Pasuk in Iyov, V'yeshvu Ito La'aretz, something like that. Now, according to that din, the halacha would be really that you have to sit on the ground. The Goyin over here at Os Beis notes that our Gemara does not have what the Ramban is quoting from that Gemara. V'hishmituhu hanmadpisim. The Goyin says that the printers of the Gemara just left it out. That means the Goyin is assuming that really there's a chiyuv to sit on the ground during Shiva. Most do not do that. Most sit on the low chairs, right? To assume that you sit on the low chair has to be based on the fact that you hold that there's no din of sitting on the ground. It's just a din of Priyas Hamito we don't have, etc. anymore. So these are some of the points that we wanted to make. Be'ezras Hashem, tomorrow we'll go weiter, we're up to Shin Peches, which is Tefillin, and we'll go on from there. Okay, Chaver, have a good day.